Thank you for this time and opportunity we have to gather. We thank you for your word. Pray that you grant me the grace to teach it and make it clear to those here and listening to this study time. And we all have things deep upon our hearts, the weight that's upon us. We want to take this time and opportunity to lift up to you and pray that you could hear our prayer and work in each given request. I thank you for those that are here. Pray for those that couldn't make it. And I ask most of all for the prayers, in prayer for our fellowship, that you'd keep us strong in the faith. That's the first step, and that you'd hinder the devil, in his works also. And, with that, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we look forward to your appearing to catch us out of this present evil world so we can be at home. Till that time, we give you thanks and praise for the salvation that we can rejoice in today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we kind of went over a long segment concerning the rapture. I really didn't know in what direction to go to anymore concerning the rapture. I kind of thought I covered it pretty well in different directions. So I thought I'd change course and start on another subject matter. Is that okay or no? Yeah, whatever, Mark. I'm just here. Yeah, boss. Yeah. Temper yourself. You get too excited on the front end. All right. Well, anyhow, turn to 1 Corinthians. Oh, by the way, got to do this because y'all are here. I asked Donald. Not deadly. Let's see. Give me just a second, guys. Sorry. Master control, but I need to know. All right, do any of you know Gracie and John Patureau? Patureau. Anybody? Okay. Baton Rouge. I think they're listening to our broadcast and sending money. I mean, Tim's got money from them, and he's asking me, and I'm like, I don't know who they are. So I'd like to think that anyway. Until we find out, they're watching our broadcasting. They send in money. All right. Did I say chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians or no? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Tonight? The foundation. Yeah, change of subject. Y'all are a tough crowd, I tell you. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The context continues, but we're going to hold up there because he's talking a lot about building, laying a foundation, the foundation, and things of that nature. We emphasize Paul for a particular reason, and that's because we can only see salvation for us today and the things for us today through Paul's writings. It will not come from any other writer in the Bible. It's the Apostle Paul. I'm not saying the rest of the Bible is in vanity or it's no worthiness to us, but our walk, our salvation, our position, and all those things are in Paul's writings. Now, with that said, in verse 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is, then that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So foundation, hence Jesus Christ. With that said, look in 1 Corinthians, hold this, we'll come back to it just to read it again. Go to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just going to read one verse here, and that's verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, it's interesting in the first half of that verse that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So then, if a man is preaching about Jesus Christ, and he preaches that you can lose your salvation, then he's saying that Jesus, the ministry that Paul talked about, is not worthy of saving you. That goes to Galatians, where Paul says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will control a man in obedience to the truth of the Word of God, in standing on the principle that Jesus Christ is your foundation, He's a sure foundation, and that all of your sins are forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ. He will not say, yeah, Jesus Christ died for your sins, but you got to do this out of the other. The Holy Ghost would never lead a preacher to say that type thing. So when they're saying that, it's a little bit of another spirit being involved in that. All right? Just how it is. Now, you continue on in that verse. He says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, with that said, continue to hold 1 Corinthians 3. Turn to Acts chapter 9. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 9, look in Acts chapter 9. And look in we'll start in verse 1 because we want the storyline here. Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's those Christians that were under Peter and them, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now this is the great salvation time of Paul, who was in Saul at that time when he was going to Damascus. He's going to get authoritative papers so that he could go and get Christians rounded up, bring them back to Jerusalem to either have them beaten, persecuted, imprisoned, or killed. One, if not all of those, would apply. And on his walk there, a light from heaven shined around him. And look what he says in verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Okay? Not only this, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, what did he say in 1 Corinthians 12:3? No man calleth Jesus Lord but by what? The Holy Ghost. So then, we're going to go here. Let this line represent Acts chapter 9 that we're reading. Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know what that tells me when I compare things in the Bible? Things that go together? 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man calls Jesus Lord but by what? The Holy Ghost. Well, that tells me that Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9. Simple. Not only that, Paul says, I have laid the foundation. And I don't know why I'm not given the gift of writing and talking at the same time. Because I can't do two things at once. But anyhow, so he laid the foundation. That's 1 Corinthians. Let's segregate, move apart from this 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You can hold it because we'll go back to it. But I want to point something out here. Look back in Psalm 11, the 11th Psalm. See if I can get to it. the 11th Psalm, and David writes something here that is very interesting. In Psalm 11, verse 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, that's a great question. Paul laid the foundation. If it can be destroyed, what are you going to do? What foundation did Paul lay? Jesus Christ. The foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now watch this. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Watch. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So he listed two things there. The wicked, them that loveth violence. Two things that he hates there. Back up to four. Midpoint. His eyes behold. What is that? That's to see, right? His eyelids try. Now what does your eyelids do? They blink, right? What happens when they blink? I mean, come on, it's elementary, no trap. Huh? They close and open. Isn't that interesting? Talks about the eyes and goes to the eyelids. Let's see if this works out. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Pay attention. That's my warning to you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean Acts 9. I meant Acts 17. Pay attention. I'm going to bait you and pull you in. I'm telling you in advance I shouldn't, but... Okay, Acts 17, a little history here. Paul goes over to Mars Hill there in Athens and sees that they're involved in idolatry, and all the men of wisdom, which the Athenians were good at wisdom with all the Greek philosophers and all that stuff, gather there, and that's kind of like their Facebook. That's kind of like their talk radio. They all gathered there at that time and would have huge audiences, and they had the hill, which just cascaded beautifully down to the people where the audio was great for people to hear. Well, Paul heard what they were talking about, and he just couldn't sit still any longer. You ever been in that position? You hear people talking about God, you know, spilling all this stuff, and it's like, you are so misled, you don't know anything. And you just reach a point, and you're like, no, stop, spare us. All right, in verse 22, Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. So, bump, he hits them right square. He didn't gently walk into this thing. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Did they not believe a God existed? No, they believed God existed. Everybody today, to some degree, believes God existed. He's just unknown. Wherefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. Verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's a good note. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. At the times of this wickedness, God winked at. At the times of this violence, God winked at. At the times of this ignorance, God what? Winked at. And the time, sorry about that, of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Then there was a point in time where ignorance was there. And what did God do with his eyes? He dropped the eyelids and winked at the ignorance. All right? This tells me a lot. It doesn't tell me everything, but it tells me a lot. I don't understand when people come up to me and ask me when I'm talking to them about salvation, and their first reply is, but what about the pygmies in Africa? Now, they're not from Africa, but they want to know about the pygmies in Africa. They're not going to Africa, but they do want to know about those pygmies in Africa. And chances are they're not renting any houses to the pygmies in Africa. So why the pygmies? They want to misdirect the conviction of the gospel meant for them. God will wink at ignorance. He won't wink at those that through your Bible, and we went through this from January to about June at least, he will not wink at those that are the dark side pursuing the righteous. His eyes are open to it. But ignorance is a whole different other thing. Now, I can't sit here and give every nationality throughout history what God is going to do with them. But this showed us something. This showed us that God understood that as they're talking about the unknown God, God sort of winked from it and allowed them to walk in their ignorance, for knowing that Paul would go there and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the God that they ignorantly worshiped. Okay? So God has a judgment capability of dealing with people that are ignorant to the truth. I don't know how that helps you, but it does show us that God is a righteous judge and is going to know how to help this world. Okay? I'm sorry, how to judge this world. He knows how to judge men. But I can tell you this. If you are there and the gospel gets preached to you and you reject and you die, there's nothing else God can do for you. You die, you go before him in a condemned state. You don't go to him better than me. You don't go to him worse than me. I just go to him not condemned. Why? There is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ, right? So, God is forgiving to all men. Those that never heard the truth, I imagine the truth of this verse holds out today. If a man comes into this life, a tribe in the heart of Africa, and never heard the gospel, God is going to judge them based upon their ignorance, okay? All things will be included into that. So, he's not this cruel God that, you know, the good ones go here and the bad ones there. That's what the devil wants you to think. That's not true. And it also helps us understand that we have a foundation. And if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, as I said, Paul gets saved here, for I laid the foundation. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to show you how those that don't handle this foundation that Paul laid properly, I want to show you a little bit how they connect their dots. So from here on, I'm not teaching you correctly. What I'm doing is I'm teaching you their incorrect teaching. And we'll come back and Windex the whole thing and clean it off in a little bit. All right. So Paul has that foundation. We know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I laid the foundation. We see that Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. So we know these things. Now watch Paul in his ministry and what he says. Go to Romans and look in Romans chapter 15. So they'll take you this little route. Romans chapter 15. Paul writing to the Romans, he says, verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's what? Foundation. So I say, Paul laid the foundation. There's another man that laid the foundation. Many times, and I'm going to compare these two, I want you to get Colossians 1 and Matthew 16. Go to Colossians 1. We'll read it first, but we need both of these just for time's sake. Colossians chapter 1. Get there. Hold that. We're going to read it first. Matthew 16, either way you want to go with it, we're going to go to both. Give me just a second. So they got there in Romans, and Paul said, well, I'm not going to build upon another man's foundation. So in order to teach it like them, what I've got to do, I'm going to have to remove something. I'm going to have to remove this right here, where I put it to signify the beginning of that foundation. Now in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Well, they connect there. Paul preaching about Christ, and he's preaching about the church. Well, you got a foundation for this church, right? So this is how they connect it. Got the church. Colossians 1 talks about it. Paul to the Colossians. There's that foundation that he laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So all of a sudden you see the church being mentioned here. So what do they do? Let me take this down. They back up. Just showing you how this is. We're going a little bit on the backward rung here. So we had Matthew 16 that we just read, right? Okay. You had church. He's the head of the church. Paul laid the foundation. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Mentioned. Now, here's where they get the people that are not taught rightly divided. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. like I said, I don't want to say we're just laying the foundation here, but we're kind of starting off on a new topic concerning the foundation, which next week we'll probably get into it in more detail and a little thorough, and we'll just keep going from there. So we're kind of just laying some foundation here for the foundation, so to speak. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Now watch. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So they say, you see there, the apostles and the prophets had the foundation. So they take what was said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we got Paul, I laid the foundation. They see a church upon it. They go back here. They see a church back here. Then they take it to Ephesians chapter 2 and says in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So they take the foundation and they run it, many of them, run it back to Matthew 16. And what they do to really discredit the work of Paul and what this foundation does for all of us is they say, this foundation is this foundation, and this foundation of Paul is that foundation, and it runs through your Bible. Because Paul, when he was out there at Rome, he said, I'm not going to build on another man's foundation. So their whole effort is to show you a foundation runs through your Bible. Well, folks, think about it. We just read Psalm 11, where David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I mean, we can take this thing all the way back to the days of David. The short answer, and we're going to prove it next week, is there is a foundation for men throughout the Bible. It's a foundation for men throughout the Bible. Who is it? The Lord. We learn the Lord's name on this earth as Christ, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord, has always been the foundation for the salvation of men throughout time. Then what's the problem? Have you guys ever, we do it a lot when we're kids, but it happens if we're service oriented, I know Mark goes to people's houses for service work and things of that nature. You ever go to someone's house and they have a fence for the backyard and they have a sign that says, beware of the dog, or beware dog, however it's worded. Then you hear this throaty dog bark back there. Sign kind of wakes you up to the fact that you might want to take heed to what's behind the fence and not just go back there and open the fence and just casually walk in there, right? It's a warning sign. Do you think maybe God put a warning sign up for the foundation that Paul preached? Believe it or not, we read it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3 verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You take heed how you build on the foundation. That word heed is used in Philippians. It's used several other places, but watch this one. Go to Philippians. So concerning this foundation, there's a heed that needs to take place concerning your walk, your building upon it and things of that nature. Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Take heed of dogs. Take heed of evil workers. Take heed of the concision. Same Greek word from heed is used here as beware. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. So heed is beware. Beware. So if you're going to build on Paul's foundation, should you beware? Should you take heed? Yes. If the foundation is all the same, and you teach it as such, then you can then conveniently take the doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and apply it today. Why? We're the church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Christ is the head of the church. You see? And they run it. I laid the foundation. There was foundations laid before. So then you could conveniently, by doing the whole shell game with people, watch the hands, you then take them back here and you formulate your doctrine out of here. Why? We're on the same foundation. So what do they say? The body of Christ then started back here. That's how they do it. Now those of you that are good and learned in this and grounded in it, you're like, well, that's foolishness. It is to us. But to people that don't know, boy, they go right into it. They don't fully understand it, but they see enough to go, wow, that's really interesting. The problem is, for them to build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, they'd have to take heed. Well, that teacher who teaches that will not be able to instruct them in the manner in which they should build upon that foundation. Why? Because they've broken down the barrier between the foundations. Let me ask you something. If you had a building like, pick me a big building, state capitol. You had a building like the state capitol you were going to build. Would you pour a foundation for it for like this building? 4-inch slab, footings. Would you pour this foundation here for building the state capitol? What are you telling me? This is a foundation. That's a foundation. They're all the same. Wouldn't hold up. Wouldn't hold. It wouldn't support the building that's on it. This foundation under Christ and the apostles, Peter had one, would not support you and me. We can't get on it. How would you get on it? Well, I'm going to confess my sins and repent of my sins. First of all, it's a gone ministry. That ministry is not active today. Second of all, you have to sell all that you have to be a part of it. Any of you done that? See what that got him, right? Yeah, right. You have to sell all that you have. You have to be faithful to it, lest you lose it. You have to go to your death. And I'm talking about being persecuted unto your death. All of that is over. All of it's over. So you can't go in the book just because God gave you this history book where you have the privilege of reading about it and go, oh, well, I'm going to just take that doctrine and bring it over here. It doesn't work. This foundation was specifically designed by God Almighty to hold sinners such as Paul. Paul couldn't have gotten saved under the ministry of Christ or the 12. He was a blasphemer of the Holy Ghost. He that blasphemes the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven them in this world, neither in that which is to come. But it doesn't deny that Jesus Christ is the foundation for these people. But Paul couldn't be placed upon that. There wasn't a foundation for him, and there wasn't one for us Gentiles either. Without the ministry of the Apostle Paul, nobody today would know how to be saved. Nobody. Because there's no other salvation for the time today outside of Paul's writings. You can't find it. But yet they consistently drag this stuff back there and do all this quick shuffle versing, throwing the verses here and there, and hopefully something will stick so you can confuse the people. Well, folks, Paul said, take heed. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So if you want to have an understanding about the foundation, do you listen to Peter? Do you listen to Jesus? Or do you go back there and learn the Psalms? Or do you consider what Paul said? You definitely consider what Paul says so that you can have an understanding. And to consider it, that word consider, by the way, and when he wrote to Timothy and said that, it's not just like, let me see. Okay, I read the verse. I'm off my merry way. It's a little deeper than that. You ever have something that troubles you to the core? A thought or something is happening in your life and you can't shake the thought. You go to bed with it. You wake up with it. I mean, it's just there all the time, right? It's there all the time. You know what you're doing? You're meditating on it. Whether you want to or not means to put your mind to it and just mull it about. Do you know the word consider what I say? The word consider means to meditate. That's what it means. Check it out for yourself. It means to meditate. So the word is much deeper than, all right, everybody, we're going to read a verse. Now close your Bibles and let me talk for the next 45 minutes. No, it's meditate on it. Put it in your mind. Let it be like something that troubles you. Or it may be something you're excited about and you just can't stop thinking about it. But it's on your mind consistently. Consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, what I did tonight, and we're about out of time, is I kind of showed you how they corrupt the Word of God, how they stretch this foundation here. What I'm going to do next week, going into this, we're going to review the foundation, but I'm going to get more specific about it. I'm not denying that there's a foundation that runs through your Bible. I said it earlier. That foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the Savior of all men. So the foundation has been there back from Adam to whoever the last Adam will be. It's always Jesus Christ. It's always a foundation. The thing about it is there are different, for lack of better words, buildings being put upon it. You would never put the state capitol on a foundation that's designed for a different building. A small bill. I mean, you just wouldn't do it. We covered that a minute ago. You're going to do. And you know, by the way, whenever you're building a building, who has an important hand in the design of all these things? structure, stability, the foundation, the wiring. What part of the process in the construction or the beginning of it all, who has an important part in it?
The architect.
The architect. The architect. He knows how to design these buildings to code and different things. He knows the stress loads. He knows all these things to design it on paper. Paul said, as a wise master builder. You go back in the Greek and you look it up, a master builder is an architect. I mean, it's that simple. But we're going to find out what exactly was Paul talking about when he told the Ephesians that you're on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What is Paul talking about? Because that verse in and of itself gives them the ability to all of a sudden run this foundation through here and say, you see there, we're on the same foundation as all the others. How about the verse in Hebrews? Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever, right? I mean, so they say, well, he never changes. He's just, well, his deity is always there. But wouldn't you guess he deals with people differently at different times? Absolutely. Sure he does. So, same thing here. There's a different group of people here. So you gotta have, by the chief architect, you gotta have a foundation that holds what God is gonna build upon it. Okay? So he gave Paul the blueprints through Revelation so that he would lay it out. And folks, you got the blueprints in 13 epistles. Alright? That's where they are. You can't go before them. You can't go after them and get blueprints for this building. Take heed. Beware. That's what he's talking about so that you can build properly because this is going to be down in our study line in weeks to come or however. He then goes into, based upon what you do by taking heed and doing the work, you being rewarded for it. And that's, we'll continue there. So, anyhow, 8 o'clock, shutting it down. Dun-da-da-da.